This evening we're going to talk about John 3:16, probably the most well-known verse in all the Bible. Probably as a child, it was probably the first verse that you learned, and so many of you can probably recite it from heart. Most of my kids could probably recite it from heart, but although we know this verse, it's good to refresh our minds on the truths that are really in it, because it's easy to recite it without thinking about it. And instead of dwelling on it. And as we prepare, I was thinking, as we prepare our hearts for tomorrow, we don't necessarily need new information, as we need to reflect upon the simple truths of Christmas, the significant truths of why Christ came. And so don't shut off your brain tonight because you say, I know this verse, right? But allow this time to really cause you to reflect upon this verse. But as we think about our world, our world really loves to talk about love. You hear it all around you. You hear messages like love yourself or love is love. And there's numerous TV shows about people who are seeking true love in these reality TV shows. And it's all around us in our culture if you really think about it. And yet even though it's all around us and we hear the messages constantly, interestingly, amidst all that, many people in our world do not feel loved. Divorce is rampant. Kids grow up in home situations. They never feel the love of a parent. Disloyalty between friends is common. And you think about our culture. You think of a cancel culture. And it's extremely unloving. It's unforgiving because you cross cultures line of acceptable things, and you are done. There are no second chances. There's no forgiveness, no love. And so amidst this world that loves to talk about love, we live in this place of myriads upon myriads of people who do not actually feel love at all. Maybe you're one of them this evening, and you're no longer with that person who said they would be with you forever. You have friends who are no longer friends, though you thought you would remain friends forever. Yes, you may feel glimpses of love from others, but not anything lasting or continual, as you feel distant from many people. You're longing to be loved, but you feel like at many times you're grasping at the air. And no, Christmas time doesn't always solve your problems, because maybe you're missing someone that you love at Christmas time. Or maybe you feel left out for some reason or disregarded in some way. Well, as we think about John 3:16, it can help because it reveals someone who loves you amidst all of your sins, flaws, and failures. And his love can sustain you through thick and thin, so that even though we live in a loveless culture, you can know that you are loved. And even if you do, let's say, have great love from friends and family, you can know that this love is actually deeper than that. It's better than that, because what we see here in this simple yet profound verse is God, the great almighty creator God, is a God of love because he loved the world and gave his son. Now, as you think about this verse, it's easy to pick it out and memorize it, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's easy to forget about the profound truths and really the context of all of Scripture when we think about this verse. And so to fully feel the impact and fully know what this verse is saying, you have to know some things first. Because you have the Bible, it's a one long story. And so what's being said here, the Bible assumes you already know some things when you get to this verse. It assumes that you know that there is a God who created all things, and included in that is mankind. You can't get around this fact. We have a creator. His name is God, Yahweh. Look around you as you walk outside. You cannot get around from that fact. But it also assumes that you also know what happened in the garden. That though God created all things good, mankind chose to rebel against him, and as a result, the world is under a curse. This is why we see so much evil and tragedy all around us. It explains why we sin, why others sin against us, why there's pain and why there's toil and there's struggle and suffering. So because of Adam and Eve's rebellion in the garden, disobeying God, we're all born sinners. You don't have to teach your children how to sin. They just do it naturally. And because of our sin, we are under condemnation because we have sinned against the Creator who we're accountable to, against the good and perfect and holy God. And He can't just let our sin slide or else He would be unjust. He wouldn't be a good God if He let our sin slide. And so I want you to put this picture in your mind. We're all sinners. We have rebelled against a good, loving, and holy God. We stand condemned, deserving eternal death. That is what we deserve. Like, we do not deserve anything good. We are the guilty ones, not God. And that is a bleak picture, right? Because the Bible even says we can't even save ourselves. Our good works aren't enough to meet His standard of holiness. We fall short. And like I said, that is a bleak picture, but that is an accurate, true picture that the Bible shows us of our world. And so in order for this verse to make sense, in order for you to feel the impact of this verse, you must know and have that picture of the world in your mind. And now you may be thinking, oh, come on, man, this is Christmas Eve. You're being a downer, right? You know, this is all bad news. It's supposed to be a joyous time. Let me say this. There is nothing wrong with feeling the weight of the bad news. Because when you fully and truly feel the weight of the bad news, think of the relief that the good news brings. It only makes the good news more joyous. So once again, we have all sinned. We have rebelled against a good, loving, holy God. We stand condemned, deserving of eternal death. And amidst all of that, what does our verse say? God so loved the world. Think about that. See how much more powerful this verse is. When you really think how He made everything good, we turned against Him, we stuck our nose up at Him, and yet in spite of that, He loves us. He loves us. It's not that He just puts up with us, right? Sort of like that coworker at work, I'm just going to put up with this guy. He's annoying, I'm just going to put up with him and make it through my day. That's not what God does. He could have justly just wiped each and every one of us off the face of the earth, and yet He actually loves us. Not just puts up with us, He loves us. Talk about radical love. Talk about love that loves even the unlovely. Love that loves the enemy. One who is sinning against Him. And yet, that is God for you. He is the definition of love. His love is an active love because what does He do? He gave His only Son. And that is where the incarnation comes in, right? Christ took on flesh, became a baby. And so God loved the world and He proved it in Bethlehem. He proved it. You know, so for some people, you wonder if they love you, right? Maybe it's a girlfriend, a boyfriend or something like that, or just a family member. And it's like, I wonder if they truly love me. And you ask that question because you maybe haven't seen evidence of their love for you. Well, God has proven and displayed His love in giving His unique Son. His love was sacrificial, wasn't it? It's not like God had this extra item laying around. Oh, I guess you can have it. I don't really need it. But no, this was His Son. You know, second person in the Trinity, right? They had a perfect loving relationship in perfection and holiness and all of that in eternity past. And to think that we didn't deserve anything. We were rebels against God, and yet He lovingly, sacrificially gave His only Son for us. Jesus is the love gift to the world from the Father. And so no Christmas gift that you give or that you receive this Christmas can ever compare, can ever match this gift of love that God the Father has given to us. So when you remember Jesus this Christmas, remember that He is the proof of the love of God for the world. Jesus came not begrudgingly, but out of love. And it really was also the loving heart of the Father. And so you see, the incarnation is a result of and evidence of God's love for the world. You know, some people say, you know, God the Father is sort of angry and hateful, and Jesus the Son is loving and caring. But this verse combats the idea and shows it was actually out of the Father's heart, his love, that sent the Son. And so there are some people who you wonder if they love you. You never have to wonder if God loves you, because all you have to do is remember Jesus in the manger, and you say, that is proof. God loves the world. Out of the depths of his great love. And whenever you think of Jesus, you can say, God loves me. He loves me. But that's not all that John 3:16 teaches us. It also shows us God loves the world and provided the way to be saved. You know, sometimes we give a gift more of a thoughtful gift. And these are great things. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them, right? And the person can say, wow, they really love me, right? They were thinking of me. They gave me this decoration and this card, and that's great. But really, that thoughtful card and decoration isn't going to drastically change your life, right? It's not going to radically change your life. I am a whole new person because of this decoration. No, we don't. That's not the case. And you think about God's love, it of course signals and proves his love, but that's not it. That's not only it. It wasn't just a way to signal his love, it was a way to save in his love. So God didn't just say, hey guys, I love you, all right, I'm going to leave you in your sin and condemnation. But he says, I love you, I'm going to save you through my Son. It says that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so we see the incarnation is a part of God's saving plan for the world. It is a gift given to us for our eternal good, and therefore it is a gift that changes our lives completely if we receive it. So remember earlier where I said that we are all sinners, we all deserve condemnation. That comes into play here, because we're all really on our way to perishing, but God intervened by sending his Son so that we could receive eternal life. That's a gift. A gracious, merciful, loving gift. A saving gift. Talk about a gift that lasts. Eternal life. Right? Talk about the gift that keeps giving. Right? It radically changes our eternities. So because of the love of the Father in sending Jesus, we can receive eternal life instead of perishing. And that means even though you die physically, yet you will live on with Christ forever. It means by when you receive this eternal life, you can have hope in this world of death. You can have hope because you can have and know that you have eternal life. And that means this precious gift of Jesus, who gives us eternal life, will matter as you lay breathing your final breath. Because in your final moment, you can say and you can know, I have eternal life. That's the radical difference that this gift makes of Jesus Christ. And there are some of you in this very room who are in fear, utter fear of death. In fact, you may not say it, but you are in slavery to the fear of death. Well, you don't have to fear death, because you can know you have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that is why Jesus' birth is such good news, because he saves his people from their sins. If you think about it, in life as humans, there's typically two things that we most greatly long for and look for. And aren't they life and love? Right? We all want to be loved. We all want to live. Right? And both of those are given here by God. He gives us love by loving us with this active, sacrificial, saving love shown in Christ. And so we don't have to fret if God loves you, because Jesus is the proof. His love won't ever stop. Right? And God satisfies our longing for life because he gives us eternal life through Jesus. We can live on into eternity with him. But the question remains, how do you receive this eternal life? Notice what the verse says, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So to receive this eternal life, it says you have to believe in Jesus Christ. A couple of verses before this, 14 and 15, Jesus says this, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So we see Jesus didn't only take on flesh and become born in this world. He also went and was lifted up on the cross, died for our sins, paying the penalty that we deserved, rose again victoriously 3 days later, and he's showing that believing in him is the way to receive eternal life. We deserve to perish, but if we would simply look in trust and faith and belief to Jesus Christ who died in our place, we shall live. And so we trust that he took our place, bearing the wrath of God for our sins so that we could be forgiven. We trust that he is the way to be saved, to have life. And if you think about it, he just says believe. And so it means we don't have to jump through a million hoops to receive eternal life. You don't have to, nor can you, do a certain amount of good works to be saved. You simply have to trust in Jesus as the way to be saved. That's it. What a gift. Simply believing and receiving, right? By faith. And so we see it is truly a gift, isn't it? Jesus, eternal life, is a gift. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you think about the truths of Christmas, they are a reminder that God lovingly came down to us so that we can have life. So my question for each of you this evening is, have you trusted in Jesus Christ? He was given out of love for you, and he went so far as to come to this sin-cursed world, die the death that you deserved so that you could go free and not pay the penalty that your sins deserved. He took what you deserve so that you could receive what you didn't deserve, eternal life. So acknowledge that you're a sinner. You deserve condemnation because you realize I sinned against God. Confess that to God, but then trust that because of Jesus, what he did for you, you can be forgiven. You can have eternal life. You can have confidence that I am saved and I have eternal life. This verse says, whoever believes should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 18 says, whoever believes in him is not condemned. What a promise. What good news. What a better time than now to receive this eternal life, this forgiveness. Do not delay. You do not know what tonight holds, what tomorrow holds, or what the next following days hold. Do not neglect. Do not turn away from the person who saves, Jesus Christ. But believe tonight and be saved. See, Jesus was given to the world as a gift of love to save us. And so, you may be sitting out there and as you think about your own life, you think about how you do not feel loved. You do not feel loved by others. Many people who have left you, they said they would always be there, and they're gone. You may not feel loved by others, as some people treat you pretty badly. They've been ignoring you, maybe. But let me tell you, there is someone who loves you and desires for you to know that love and to be saved, God. And so John 3:16 is this declaration of that God loves you. He wants you to know that, right? He gave us this verse so that you would know that. He loves you and desires for all men to be saved, all men and women. And so he wants the world, and that means he wants you to know his love. And so he gave us Jesus. And so the Christmas, these truths behind Christmas are these reminders that God doesn't want us to perish, but he desires for us to have eternal life through his Son. And so all we can say is, like Paul, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are so loving and gracious that you have given us your Son. Lord, we didn't deserve him. We didn't deserve anything, but yet you lovingly sent him. And he willingly came and died for us so that we could be saved. And I pray if there's anyone this evening that has never trusted in Jesus Christ, that they would see the need to believe in Jesus Christ alone to be saved and forgiven. That they would simply confess their sin and turn to Jesus Christ and be saved. And what a glorious and amazing and joyous thing that would be. I pray for those of us who are saved, who are Christians, who follow you, that we'd be reminded of the simple yet powerful truth of what you have done in love for us. May it impact our hearts once again this evening, and as we reflect upon you also tomorrow and the days ahead. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. The sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.